The Lord be with you. I want to say good morning and a very warm welcome to everyone to our service of morning prayer today. And it's absolutely lovely to see you with us again this morning. And a special word of welcome to those who are with us for the first time, perhaps in a number of months. And it's lovely to see people here this morning. Also want to say a special word of welcome to all who will hear the recorded version of this service later on. And our equipment has still not arrived, which will eventually allow us to live stream our services. And when that comes, we're hopeful that the recorded service will be available from around 1 o'clock or 1:30 on Sunday. So a little bit later than normal for those who normally phone in to receive the service in that way. I have a couple of announcements that I just need to make at this point. And the first one is to ask everyone to ensure that your name and your phone number have been recorded as you took your seat today. And that's really, really important to us. So if you sat this morning and your name wasn't recorded, maybe you could just have a word with our wardens on the way out this morning. Also to say that at the end of the service, if this is your first time back, we ask you please just to stay in your seat until a steward indicates that you can leave, and they will show you out the same door that you came in. And we ask people then to make their way either to the lawn or to the car park for a chat at social distance with your friends and those whom you come in contact with today. So we ask you just to move out towards the car park or the lawn so you don't clog up the entrance to the church. Also need to remind people that we don't have a collection in the way that we normally would during church services, but there is a basket at the back of the church for those who might wish to make an offering but don't give electronically. So there is a basket at the back if you wished to make an offering this morning. Another strange thing in the resumption to services in church is that we're not permitted to sing at the present time, and that feels really, really strange. But when the hymns are announced, you'll see the words appearing in front of you, and you're very welcome to hum along, but we ask you please not to sing. That's the guidelines that we have at the present time. If you don't have access to our church website or the blog, we're hoping in September to be launching an online Alpha course. And if you'd be interested in taking part in that course, it's about a 12-week course where we look at the basics of the Christian faith. It'll take place over Zoom, so you'd need to have the Zoom technology on your laptop or your mobile phone. And if you would phone or email the office to express your interest and book a place. And we're excited for this new opportunity to explore our faith in some depth together. And we hope that people will be able to take up that opportunity during the months of autumn on Wednesday evenings. As we gather together this morning, our opening hymn is a hymn that invites us to lift up our hearts in praise to God as we think of his mercy and his faithfulness, and we think of all the reasons that we have to praise him. We listen to the hymn, "Bless the Lord, O my soul."
Bless the Lord, O my soul, O my soul. Worship his holy name. Sing like never before, O my soul. I'll worship your holy name. The sun it's a new day dawning. It's time to sing your song again. Whatever may pass and whatever lies before me, let me be singing. worship his holy name. Sing like never before, oh my soul, I'll worship your holy name. You're rich in love and you're slow to anger. Your name is great.
Our service today is the service of morning prayer. Beloved in Christ, we come together this morning to offer to Almighty God our worship and praise and thanksgiving, to confess our sins and to receive God's forgiveness, to hear his holy word proclaimed, to bring before him our needs and the needs of the world, and to pray that in the power of his Spirit, we may serve him and know the greatness of his love. Let us confess our sins to God our Father. Heavenly Father, we have sinned against you and against our neighbor in thought and word and deed, through negligence, through weakness, through our own deliberate fault, by what we have done and by what we have failed to do. We are truly sorry and repent of all our sins for the sake of your Son, Jesus Christ, who died for us. Forgive us all that is past and grant that we may serve you in newness of life to the glory of your name. Amen. Almighty God, who forgives all who truly repent, have mercy on you. Pardon and deliver you from all your sins. Confirm and strengthen you in all goodness, and keep you in eternal life, through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. Our Bible reading for today's service brings our studies in the book of Haggai to a conclusion. And in our short reading from Haggai chapter 2, we hear of Haggai speaking of the privilege it is for him to be God's messenger. We read from Haggai chapter 2, beginning at verse 20. The word of the Lord came to Haggai a second time on the 24th day of the month. Tell Zerubbabel, governor of Judah, that I will shake the heavens and the earth. I will overturn royal thrones and shatter the power of the foreign kingdoms. I will overthrow chariots and their drivers. Horses and their riders will fall, each by the sword of his brother. On that day, declares the Lord Almighty, I will take you, my servant Zerubbabel, son of Shealtiel, declares the Lord, and I will make you like my signet ring, for I have chosen you, declares the Lord Almighty. Here ends our Bible reading. And we're going to stand together now to affirm our faith in the words of the Apostles' Creed. I believe in God. I believe in God, the Father Almighty, creator of heaven and earth. I believe in Jesus Christ, God's only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, died, and was buried. He descended to the dead. On the third day, he rose again. He ascended into heaven. He is seated at the right hand of the Father, and he will come again to judge the living and the dead. I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Catholic Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen. Let us pray. Our special collect prayer for today, the ninth Sunday after Trinity. Almighty God, who sent your Holy Spirit to be the life and light of your church, open our hearts to the riches of his grace, that we may bring forth the fruit of the Spirit in love and joy and peace, through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. And we're going to share together in the first and the third collects of morning prayer. O God, O God, the author of peace and lover of concord, to know you is eternal life, and to serve you is perfect freedom. Defend us in all assaults of our enemies, that we, surely trusting in your protection, may not fear the power of any adversaries, through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. Go before us, Lord, in all our doings, with your most gracious favor, and further us with your continual help, that in all our works, begun, continued, and ended in you, we may glorify your holy name, and finally, by your mercy, attain everlasting life. Through Jesus Christ, our Lord. Amen. Amen. And now we're going to join together to listen to our next hymn, a hymn that invites us again to focus on the priority of the things of God. Seek ye first the kingdom of God. May the words of my mouth and the meditations of all our hearts be now and always acceptable in your sight, O Lord, our strength and our Redeemer. Amen. One of the great privileges of being a preacher is that you get to spend time studying and preparing for the talks that you deliver. And so you get to spend time with the Word of God and to wrestle with the questions. What does this mean? What is it saying to our lives today? And then in the preparation and the study, where you maybe look at what other people have said about the same passage, you get insights and you get ideas that you hadn't come across before. And as we come today to the last few verses of the prophet Haggai, we've been looking at the book of Haggai over about the last 6 weeks. And as we come to the last few verses today, this is one of the things that really comes across very powerfully to me in these verses. And that is that Haggai had such a sense of the privilege and the challenge of being God's messenger. If you've been listening in to the series over the last 6 weeks, this was the fourth specific message that he had been given to deliver to the Israelites in a short space of time. And to me, what's really quite striking is that whatever the content of the message that he had to deliver, he's always there and he's ready to speak the message that God had given him to share. And sometimes, if you remember back, those messages were positive and they were encouraging. But then at other times, he had to speak out in condemnation. And he had to challenge people and he had to spur people to get their priorities right again if they had got distracted or maybe they had lost focus. And it got me wondering when I thought about Haggai's willingness to be God's messenger about ourselves in our own day. How do we communicate to other people that the Lord is important in our lives? And maybe it begins with simple things like actually spending time with him, rather than frittering time away on our phone or in a frenetic sequence of never-ending activity where we're always busy, but we never have time for him. Or maybe it's as simple as telling people stuff like, I was at church at the weekend and I was glad to be there. It lifted my soul. Sometimes we're a bit embarrassed when the hairdresser maybe asks us about our plans for the weekend, and we're happy to tell them about the meal out that we plan to go to or the party or the concert, but we maybe don't speak about the faith side of our lives in that conversation. And it's almost as if we're a bit ashamed or concerned that if we tell them that we plan to go to church, they'll think we're a religious nut or something. We love food programs in our house. And I love the series that Mary Berry made a few years ago when she looked at how different countries and religious traditions used food as part of their celebrations. And she looked at it in particular around the season of Easter. And in that series, which was in a few parts, she spoke very candidly about how she was a regular church attender at a small village church. And she spoke about how she loved the peace of the early service. And she spoke about how much going to church had helped her in her life. And indeed, she'd been through many difficult things, but
Church going was a really important part of who she was. So she wasn't ashamed or she wasn't afraid to use the platform that she'd been given to simply share that this was an important part of her life. So I wonder, can we, like Haggai and even like Mary Berry, be the Lord's messengers in our day? So Haggai really had a sense of that privilege it was to be the Lord's messenger. The second thing that comes through for me in these final few verses is that God's purposes will prevail, even when it doesn't look like it. And we saw that in verses 21 and verse 22. And if we're honest, I think we can sometimes feel more than a little bit overwhelmed by the progressive secularization of life in the Western world. And we seem to see on an almost daily basis the rapid dismantling of our Christian heritage in society. And certainly, if we look at the tone of much of the media we consume, whether we read newspapers, we watch television, or we listen to the radio, we can see that the tone very often is one of scorn or contempt for those who hold a Christian worldview. And when we think about all that the current guidelines that we have to comply with in order to go anywhere or to be anywhere, you'll see that those guidelines make things quite complicated at times, and nowhere less so than coming to church, as you might have discovered this morning, where you seem to have to go through all these various hoops before you eventually get to sit in your seat. And I suspect that many of us feel that a global pandemic has hit the church particularly hard. When already church attendance has been shrinking, it's now forced to reduce even further through social distancing. And it becomes more challenging to engage others and to remain engaged ourselves when we've got to do things in a new way. And yet, when we look at what Haggai felt about his situation, and he felt much opposition as he was involved in trying to spur people on in this rebuilding project, he remained sure that God's purposes would eventually prevail. And I believe that we too need to keep that bigger picture in front of us, especially when we get discouraged. There may be fewer people in the building, but the other truth is that we're also present now on new platforms like blogs and Facebook, and we hope soon to be able to live stream our services and to be able to bring them to a global audience. And so I think we do need to keep looking for new opportunities, and I believe that God will honor these endeavors, if not now, at a time of his choosing. The last thing that I notice in these concluding verses of Haggai is how Zerubbabel, the governor, is like the Lord's signet ring. And the signet ring was like a sign of his authority and authenticity. And sometimes we see that idea when we get a letter with a wax seal. And so maybe you might get a letter from Buckingham Palace, but it would have that special seal on the back telling you that that's the source of where it came from, that it's authentic and it's real. And in this way, the signet ring was like a beautiful affirmation for Zerubbabel, the governor. And indeed, it's a beautiful affirmation for all of us that we have the Lord's seal placed upon us. And when I was thinking about that, I was thinking about how so many of us who are here this morning will have been signed with the sign of the cross at our baptism. And at that point, we will have been marked out as being dedicated or belonging to God. And that's exactly what we're being told in these verses today, that you are precious, that you are unique, that God has chosen you, and you were signed with the sign of the cross as belonging to him. And if you can see your value in God's eyes, it will motivate you to work for him, to be his person wherever he has placed you. And the truth is that you're going to be able to impact or to reach people for him that no one else can. And so sometimes when we feel down or we feel that we're a failure, remind ourselves, it's important to remind ourselves that Almighty God has chosen you. What a special thing it is to be affirmed in that way. And so as our studies in Haggai draw to a close this morning and we reflect on that amazing rebuilding project that took place, let's remind ourselves of a few important truths that come through in this book, which is one of the shortest books in the Bible. It's just 2 pages long. The first thing that it's important for us to remember is that the temple was so much more than a building, even a sacred building. The temple was the visible sign of God dwelling among his people by his Spirit. And I believe that that's our mission here in St. Finian's in the present day, to be a community of people that radiate his presence. The second thing we want to remember from this little book is that Haggai wanted the Israelites to get their priorities straight, to quit worrying about just themselves and their comfort. But he spurred them to rebuild the temple from its state of ruin. And we often, just like them, place a higher priority, perhaps, on our personal comfort and tastes than on God's work and his worship. But God is pleased and he promises strength and guidance whenever we give him the first place in our lives. And that's what we see happening in this rebuilding project we've been looking at, that God blessed the efforts of the people once they began this project. And then there is the important reminder today that God's purposes cannot be thwarted. And then there was that important, resounding call running right through the book to faithfulness to him. So let's take those lessons to heart as we seek to serve him in this new season. Let us pray. Lord God, we thank you today for the message of Haggai. Thank you for his compelling call to focus on the right things. Thank you for his reminder of God's presence and his purposes. And we thank you too for Haggai's ability to listen to God and to share that message, even if it would challenge or disturb. We pray that you would help us to continue to hear your word today. Help us to be obedient and to act upon it. And help us to seek new ways to make you known amidst all the challenges of our time. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer. We pray for the nations of the world. And today we pray especially for the people of Lebanon after Tuesday's devastating explosion in Beirut. We pray for all those who have been bereaved and injured. We pray for those who've lost homes and businesses. And we ask that you would bless all who are offering practical assistance and support. And so we want to pray especially today for all the staff in Beirut's hospitals. We pray for mosques and churches and other faith and community groups that are trying to come alongside all those directly affected. We pray too for international aid to bring help to all who have been impacted by this terrible tragedy. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer. We pray for the sick and the poor and those in any kind of trouble. And we pray especially today for all who are undergoing tests or receiving treatment for cancer at this time. We pray for all who feel nervous attending appointments in hospital and their families. And we pray too for all the staff in our hospitals who have to deal with so many new regulations and guidelines and also provide care and reassurance to those in distress. And we take a quiet moment now just to bring before God any who are particularly in our thoughts or on our minds as we come to church or we listen to this service today. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer. Merciful Father, accept these, our prayers, for the sake of your Son, our Saviour, Jesus Christ, who taught us to pray, our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, the power, and the glory, for ever and ever. Amen. Our closing hymn today reminds us that we do indeed have good news to share with the world around us as we listen to the hymn, "We Have a Gospel to Proclaim."
Thank you.
So just to remind you that a steward will invite you to leave, and if you could stay in your seat until that point, then your hands will be sanitized as you leave the church, and if you could please make your way out towards the lawn or the car park so as not to congest the entrance. We bow our heads for God's blessing. May God, the Holy Trinity, make you strong in faith and love, defend you on every side, and guide you in truth and peace. And may the blessing of God Almighty, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit be upon you and remain with you this day and forevermore. Amen.